You're listening to Radio Aryan at RadioAryan.com.
Hello and welcome to Truth Without Radio. Today's date is Friday, the 28th of April, 2017, and you are listening to me, Sven Longshanks. I'm joined today, as always, by the producer of Adolf Hitler, The Greatest Story Never Told, and Communism by the Back Door, Mr. Dennis Wise. Dennis, how are you doing today?
I'm fine. I'm a bit tired because I worked through the night. I was deep into research, which we can talk about at some stage. But I should be holding up enough to get through an hour at least.
Well, that's good. You were having computer problems last week. I'm having computer problems this week. Hopefully, we might get things all sorted again by next week. But at least we're able to put a podcast out. That's the important thing. And interested to hear what you've been researching. Judging by some of the subjects that you were just mentioned to me before we began here. Do you want to let the listeners know what you've been looking into?
Well, obviously, the theme is Freemasonry, and you know, there's going to be a good case for why Hitler did get rid of them and Mussolini, and there's also been a good case of why a lot of things have been hidden, or they've been trying to cover things up. One being the fact that if people don't realise that World War II was not a holy war, which was a battle over this Christianity and the Jewish forces of the Masons and the Communists, then they'd be naive. I mean, the whole thing, to wipe out Christianity is, obviously 99% of the white race in Europe at that time was Christian. In fact, probably a lot are today, even though they're not practicing the same. And so the quest to wipe out Christianity is, it just works along with the same lines as wiping out the white race. We want to keep that quiet, though, because they don't want people to know that that was a holy war. I've found some instances of proving that it was. And obviously, they want to keep it quiet because there's other white nations around the world and other Christians around the world who need to be kept in the dark for this agenda to be carried on, which obviously it is today because we can see this in the race mixing of Europe.
Well, I think they've tried very hard to paint Hitler as being anti-Christian. A lot of the propaganda, a lot of these history documentaries that we see that are presented by Jews and what have you, they're always trying to make him out to be anti-Christian and saying that he persecuted the church. And yet, if you actually look at his actions, he was the most Christian leader of a nation that we've had for the last century. They were Christian principles that he put into action. No usury, banned usury. That's an essential part of Christianity, is the banning of usury. Putting the needs of your nation first before the needs of the individual. I mean, that's exactly what Christ said, love your neighbour as yourself. No greater love does a man have than that he lays down his life for his friends. What that means is, no greater love that can a man have than the love for his nation, that inspires him to lay down his life for his people. Because you're not talking about a sexual love, you're not talking about lust, which we are told today is the height of everything, is this sexual lust, romance, that's the whole point of everything. Well, no, it's the opposite of that. The love for your nation is not built on lust at all. It's completely unselfless. It's all about what you can do for other people. And that's the whole of what National Socialism was built upon. It's built entirely upon Christian principles, and he led by his actions. He didn't need to preach about Christianity. All he had to do was show a good example, and the people followed because he was in that position. And in that respect, he was very much like these ancient kings of old that we still call the great to this day. Hitler should be known as Hitler the Great, and I expect he will be in centuries to come.
Well, somebody said to me on YouTube, they asked me, they're quite sure that Hitler was a Christian. And I said to him, I could make the case, it's not an understatement, I could make the case of him being one of the greatest Christians that ever walked, purely by his actions. And people, for some reason, they'll look at YouTube and they'll see a host of occult movies on the Nazis. And those are never taken down. You know, but any videos within an ounce of truth, you know, are always under attack. So it should be quite obvious to most people, but they fall for the propaganda. The propaganda has been quite relentless.
Well, I think there were a few that were anti-Christian. You had Himmler, who wasn't very pro-Christian. You had Bormann, he wasn't very pro-Christian. Alfred Rosenberg, he wasn't very pro-Christian. But that's just a few people. Now, I suggest possibly 1%, 5%, 5% at the most out of the administration. And the vast majority of the people were Christian, and we know that. And wanted to make the churches conform with National Socialism. They put swastika bells up. They tried to come up with positive Christianity to remove the Jewish influence from Christianity, which is a really noble thing to do. It is the Jewish influence that has turned Christianity from being the force that propelled us into our Western civilization to the force which has been turned against us, which is now being used against us to try and encourage us to bring in all these immigrants. And instead of hating the enemies of God, we're being told to love them, give our houses up to them, allow them in.
Exactly.
The opposite, isn't it?
Exactly, yeah. I mean, it's even questionable. I mean, people, you know, believe that Christ was a Jew today. I honestly believe that the Jews have tampered with that book at some point. You know, I mean, Christ was never a Jew. This is what people can't understand.
Well, Hitler knew that. He said it a few times. Christ was an Aryan. Goering said that as well. Jesus was an Aryan by his actions and also by who he was. Don't forget, I mean, the Galileans, they were called the Galileans before they were called the Christians. And the Galileans weren't Jews. They were all from the tribe of Benjamin. And Galilee as well, the actual name of it is Galilee of the Goyim, Galilee of the Gentiles, meaning Galilee of the nations. So Jesus wasn't a Jew.
When I look at it, you know, there's certain organizations heavily influenced by Freemasonry. Take, for instance, Hollywood, the music industry, NASA, just three, which I can just rhyme off. And each have played their own part in this agenda of killing what I call killing God. And, you know, this is where the theory of evolution comes in as well, where I found evidence of this article, which was, I believe, taken from the Protocols, which I know the Jews all deny, but, I mean, the fact is it is a prophetic piece of a document, and it's 95% almost completed. And in that, it states that none has far more reaching consequences than the man from the monkey myth, the theory of evolution. We have fooled, bemused, and corrupted the youth of the Goyim by rearing them in the principles and theories like evolution, which are known to be by us to be false, although it is us that have been behind it all. We've also robbed them of their faith in God, and only years divide us from the moment of the complete wrecking of that Christian religion. You know, this is in 1906.
Yeah, it's a prophecy there, really. That's exactly what they've done. Anyone who doubts the protocols, you only have to look around you to see that they've all been fulfilled. Evolution, I think this theory of evolution played a large part in it. A lot of people today seem to they support evolution, and they say that they're white nationalists as well, and they're against race mixing. But evolution says that we all come from one ancestor. If you're a Christian, you should believe that the God created the world, and he created the kinds in their separate kinds, each within its own kind, each with the seed being able to produce its own kind. And the mixing of the kinds is anti-God, and it's anti-nature. And the theory of evolution, it breaks all that down. It breaks all of that down. It says that man is no different to an animal. He comes from a monkey. There's nothing more important about man than any other animal. And if you think that you're no better than an animal, then there's no encouragement to raise yourself up above the animals. People just behave like the animals.
Exactly.
That's what I see all the time. People behaving like animals instead of trying to be like God.
Yeah, well, I believe that's the same behind the the you know this NASA universe thing where they go into, they say, well, we found life on other planets, and they're trying to build up, you know, this thing we're to expect aliens and all this kind of carry on, just make us out to be not the special people that we should be looked at, but just as ordinary, you know, little dots in a universe with the same principles as you just said.
Yeah, they try to make us out to be inconsequential. I think the same as you there, Dennis, with a lot of the cosmology, and they're looking out into the universe and they'll say, oh, we're just one of millions and billions, and the chances are there's life everywhere else, and we're no different to anything. Well, we are different. The Christian faith tells us that we are the pinnacle of creation, and we were created in the image of man. And evolution and looking out into the universe and saying, oh, there's multiple universes and there's lots of life everywhere else, that just makes us inconsequential. And it doesn't matter it doesn't matter if we go extinct, because there, of course, there's lots of other life out there, there's lots of other parallel universes, and it just drags man
down. It means
down.
Everything, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, if we were to tell our people, you are the pinnacle of creation, you are the absolute very best that there is, and what you have, but if you're white, what you have is absolutely priceless, and it means that every one of your ancestors refused to interbreed with these other races. You are the elect, your ancestors were the righteous ones that didn't mongrelize. You would be really proud of what you had. And if we were told about the amazing things that our ancestors did, we would be trying to do that now. Instead, we're walking around with sackcloth and ashes on us and saying, please forgive us, please forgive us for slavery. Please forgive us for what we did to the third world.
And it's all planned.
Yeah, totally. That's what the protocols are all about. I mean, that all predicts that, including evolution, doesn't it?
Well, funny enough, I found a remarkable piece of video footage as well. I don't know whether you can remember the first speech that Hitler gave when he was Chancellor. You probably know it. He talks about in ourselves alone lies the future of the German nation, he's building up the country after he just won the election. Well, I found actual piece of it was about the Jews, and in it they have the same speech, and believe it or not, they have translated it, and from what he's talking about raising the German nation and standing on their own, they translate it as, I'm freeing man from a false vision called conscience and morality. They go on to say, the Ten Commandments have lost their validity. Conscience is a Jewish invention. Bolshevism is Christianity's illegitimate child. Both are the inventions of the Jew. Now, this is a guy talking while Hitler's giving this speech, this well-known speech to us, but obviously to anybody who's not really particularly into Hitler's speeches, they're completely fooled.
So what is this? So this is a fake speech that's attributed to Hitler, is it?
No, it's not a fake speech. It's actually a speech by Hitler, but wrongly translated.
Ah, right.
You get me?
Yeah, yeah. So they've added bits in there to...
Well, there's a voiceover at the top of him. It's actually waiting for him to say his next line so they can tell you what he's saying, and it's also written. And I found it about 3 or 3 months ago. I just kept it on standby for if I needed it, and lo and behold, it comes in perfectly from what I'm trying to prove, that a lot of it lies about Hitler can be proven now.
Well, yeah, I mean, Hitler was against Bolshevism and he was pro-Christianity. He knew that it was Christianity against Bolshevism. Why would he be saying that Christianity came from Bolshevism? I've always questioned that. There's a track that's supposed to be Hitler talking to somebody else, Dietrich Eckart.
Maybe. Is it Table Talk?
No, it's not Table Talk. It's for Moses, from Bolshevism to Lenin, and it tries to misquotes the Bible, and Hitler understood the Bible. He knew what the Bible stories were and what they were telling us.
Well, his mother were devout.
Yeah, well, this book, whoever wrote it, the guy obviously doesn't understand what these Bible stories are. He hasn't actually read it. He's only heard them secondhand because he gets them completely mixed up. And he tries to say that that Christianity is the cause of Bolshevism, and that just wouldn't have worked in the 30s Germany. There's no way you'd have been able to say that Christianity brought about Bolshevism, because Bolshevism was destroying Christianity. Look what they did to the church in Russia. Look what they did to the Orthodox priests. How many millions of them they massacred.
Exactly. You know,
the opposite. Atheistic Bolshevism, exactly, is what it was called, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, it actually says here another line, which he closes this little bit, which they show. It says, the heaviest blow which struck humanity was Christianity. So they're, you know, the propaganda is to try and make National Socialist Germany pagan, so that they can continue with this destruction of Christianity, which is obviously happening in front of our eyes. And in doing so, it's taking the white race with it.
Well, so much of what we have is based on Christianity and the teachings of that. That's how we ended up coming together as Europeans in the first place. That's why we were known as Christendom. That's the reason why the English and the Scots, well, King Arthur went up to Scotland. He was going to massacre the Scots. And they said, well, we are good Christian people, the same as yourself. Surely you wouldn't want to kill good Christian people. So he didn't. And they ended up making peace. And that's pretty much the same thing that happened throughout Europe. The only troubles there were in the Baltics. And that wasn't until 1,000 years or more after the birth of Christianity. By that time, we had the Roman Empire, and we had corruption in the religion. And that was the only time that it didn't work for peace. And when Constantine took over the Roman Empire, and he didn't make Christianity he made Christianity better treated than the others, but he basically gave everyone the freedom to follow whatever religion they want. And Christianity was favoured. That was all. He gave everyone the ability to think in whatever way they wanted. And they came to Christianity because they saw that it was superior. If they didn't see that it was superior, then the kings would never have become Christian and the people would never have followed, which is generally the way things happen. The nations just follow what the king does. And it succeeded.
Yeah.
And it got rid of the Jews. That was the greatest thing. It got rid of all the Jews from the Roman Empire. And Hitler spoke about that a lot in his speeches, about these laws that they had, the Holy Roman Empire.
That's right.
Not allowed to marry Jews.
Yeah, well, I actually found, I haven't got the name of the general now in front of me, but I actually found proof. We were talking last week about Dunkirk and if he let off the British. According to this general, he did let him off. In fact, he said he surprised them by talking so highly about the British Empire. And he was under the conclusion that he could at some point, he would wish that they would help him fight the Bolshevism factor. But, you know, that was never came about. But, I mean, he had a great regard for Britain and regarded us as cousins and all Christian, you know. But obviously, under the influence of the Jews, things didn't work out the same.
Well, that was a large part of it, wasn't it? It was Christian brethren, your Christian brothers that may speak a different language, but they're Christian brothers. And it was all white up until a couple of hundred years ago when they started trying to convert the Negroes over in Africa. But up until that point, it was all white. And pretty much up until that point, it wasn't corrupted by the Jews either. I mean, that's a fairly recent thing that they've allowed the Jews in. And it's only in the last 50 years they've said, oh, Abrahamic faiths, Judaism and Islam are equivalent to Christianity. And that's so satanic and heretical to say that. The two forces that have been the enemies of Christianity since birth, and we're now told that they're equal to it. And the alternative to that is atheism and evolution, isn't it?
Exactly. It annoys me when these pagans have a go, because saying that, you know, Hitler wasn't really a Christian, he was a pagan in disguise. I mean, you can clearly see how the Jews feel about Christianity. I mean, they tend to say that you know, it's a Jewish religion and it's made Europe weak, and this is how they've managed to infiltrate. But actually, you know, you read the Talmud and it tells you exactly what they think of Christ.
And there's a letter as well, I think from the 14th or the 15th century, which is from one of these rabbis to the Jews. And it says the way to deal with your persecution, in quote marks, is to join the church, become priests in it, and subvert it from within. And that's exactly what they did.
Exactly what they've done. I mean, I found a quote here from a Jewish film producer. He's a scriptwriter called Ben Hecht. I think he wrote the book A Jew in Love. And he expressed his hatred for Christ. He says, "One of the finest things ever done by the mob was the crucifixion of Christ. Intellectually, it was a splendid gesture. But trust the mob to bungle. If I'd have been in charge of executing Christ, I'd have handled it differently. You would have seen it done properly by him being shipped to Rome and fed to the lions. They could never have made a saviour out of mincemeat."
That's typical. Can you imagine someone saying that about Muhammad?
Yeah. Oh, sure.
Yeah. Nobody would dare do that, would they? They wouldn't dare print that. And yet these Jews are quite brazen about their hatred for Christianity. Sarah Silverman and all these Jews that
in mind, yeah,
supposed to be comedians, poking fun.
But they're actually showing the true colours. I like it when they say things like this because it only backs my arguments up.
Well, a lot of this push towards evolution has been funded by them as well, hasn't it? I can remember when I was a child and I used to watch the nature documentaries, there would hardly be any mention of evolution, hardly anything at all. Maybe something at the end. And it was always treated as if it was just a theory. It was unproven. And yet now, if you watch any nature documentary from the beginning until end, it's all telling you that this creature evolved from that, this evolved into that, this is all evolution. There's no actual proof for that. And yet they talk about it as if it's a done deal. It's already been explained. It's all been proved. And when you actually look into it, even if you're not a Christian, if you look at the science behind it, you'll see that it's based on nothing. The emperor has no clothes.
Well, they also forgot to mention that it's understood that even Darwin refuted it on his deathbed, according to a Lady Hope who was married to an admiral. Admiral Hope, I can't remember his first name now, James, I think. And she's written in a newspaper article saying that on his deathbed he actually refuted it.
Well, when you think about it, I mean, we see small adaptation, don't we? And that's what he saw. He saw people or animals slightly changing according to their environment and changing according to the mates that they picked. They would pick certain mates to have certain attributes, and human beings would pick certain mates to have certain attributes. I suspect we're fairly feminized now because women would pick certain feminized men because those men would be less likely to be aggressive towards them. So we end up gradually getting more feminized, but we don't end up turning into a different species. There's no evidence for anything changing into a different species. There's just adaptation within the actual kind that we have. And if you look at this, you don't just change from one kind to another. And when you think about the intricate way that the world is put together, that the earth is put together, it's all cycles like the water cycle. If you think about trees, the trees have to have soil on which to live. And what is the soil? Well, the soil is created by the earthworm. And what does the earthworm need to live on? Well, it needs dead trees to live on. So you need trees, you need earthworms, and you need soil. And where did that start? What did the trees begin in before there was soil? What did the worms eat before there was dead trees? What did either of them do without any soil? You know, they cannot happen on their own. They cannot evolve on their own. And everything's like that. Everything relies upon everything else. It cannot just grow on its own. And bits of the body are the same. The irreducible complexity of organs like the eye, it just couldn't happen in the way that the evolution theory suggests.
Two things to compete with an eye.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, there's more to it as well than that. I mean, if a creature was to start producing another creature, start evolving, it would look different. and the other creatures wouldn't want to mate with it, because we wish to mate with our own kind. We're programmed to mate with our own kind. If you see someone that looks different, then you're not going to want to mate with them. The animals aren't going to want to mate with them. And every single one of the genetic mutations that we've ever seen have been harmful to the organism. Then they don't improve the organism. Genetic mutations are things like cancer.
Exactly.
Things don't get more complex.
It's another argument on YouTube as well with somebody where they were saying that by mixing race, it makes the race stronger. And what cloud they're coming from, I've no idea.
Not mixing the different kinds. If you have one group of people, one race, like say you have the race of the Scottish people, they're a white race and they're a subsection of the white race. They've adapted over time with to pick certain people that look in a certain way. And if you've got a group that all lived together before people moved around very much, then the genes would stay fairly stable in that group. And now if you had somebody that moved from 100 miles away, he was still Scottish, but he was from a group of genes that were 100 miles away. So he would bring in something new. Now that would improve the genes of the group as a whole, but only because he was part of the same race and part of the same subsection of that race in the first place. If a Negro was to move in there and interbreed with them, that wouldn't improve it. That would just destroy the genetic integrity. Yeah. It's like oil and water. If you mix oil and water together, they don't mix. You know, they'll fill it. You can fill up a bottle with the same amount, but it's not going to mix together. And it doesn't matter how little the oil is that you put in with that water, it will still show, and it will still be there.
And well, even in the greatest story ever told, Muhammad Ali was talking, and Parkinson, being a left-wing liberal, was all for race mixing, and even Muhammad Ali was not having it. He said, why, you know, there's nobody in the right mind, any white person in the right mind doesn't want chocolate-coloured curly-haired grandchildren. So each race is, you know, should be true to their own, like he says.
Well, I find a good way to explain it to people who don't quite understand it is to point out blue whales, humpback whales, sperm whales, killer whales, minke whales. They're all different types of whale, but they're all still whales. They're the equivalent of the human race, which is split up into the different races or the different ethnic nations, if you prefer to call them that. And it's the same thing with these whales. I'm sure you could probably put two of those whales together and create a monstrosity if you wanted. I'm sure that would be possible. But they wouldn't do that because they just want to breed with their own kind. And we naturally just want to breed with our own kind. Occasionally there are people that there are aberrations, people who go against the rules and want to breed with another kind. And in the days of old, they would have been executed for that. Or they should have been. We know that wasn't always the case. But if you introduce that damage, basically, into the genetic integrity, it will destroy the nation. That's what happened to Babylon. That's what happened to Assyria. That's what happened to India. That's what happened to Egypt. That's what happened to all those previous empires that we learn about.
That's right.
Yeah, that's how it happened. And the same thing is happening today. So it doesn't improve the race, and no, you can't get rid of it once it's in there. And the proof that we can't get rid of it, because people say, oh yes, but look at Hitler, and they were trying to breed people white again. They would say somebody is only a quarter Jew, so we can breed them white again. But that was before the age of DNA testing, and DNA testing can show you what DNA you've got in you from 10 generations back. It doesn't disappear. It doesn't disappear. You can't breed them white again. It will always be there. It's like oil and water. Yeah. It doesn't mix. Just the smallest amount, it's still going to be in there. It's not going to become dissolved in the water. It will always separate out. It will always be in there. It's not a positive thing.
I suspected this, you know, mixing of races and, you know, I'd gone on before World War II. We spoke about this before. Kalergi was writing his book in 1920. And there's a mention here of another Jewish writer here who mentioned it in 1927. When he talks, he actually wrote an article for the Jewish Daily Forward. about white race extinction. And he says, if there is capitalism, there will be that division of castes of which we spoke a moment ago, the upper caste retaining the family, the lower substituting the state for the parents. And there will be the need to produce submissiveness in the lower caste, unless it should be rebel against the rich. This will involve a low level of culture and will perhaps lead to the rich to encourage breeding among black rather than white or yellow proletarians. The white race may thus gradually become a numerically small aristocracy and to be finally exterminated by Negro insurrection. And this was written in 1927.
Well, it's coming true, isn't it? I mean, if you look at the old writings of the classical world, when they talked about somebody being of noble birth or somebody being of ignoble birth, if they were of noble birth, then that meant they were white. And we are of noble birth today, and that's what they don't want us to know. They don't want us to realise it. By the time we realise that we are actually of noble birth, they want us to just be 4% left of the world's population. They don't want us to be strong enough to actually fight back. Because I think that's what we need. We need to be ennobled. We need to feel ennobled. We need to know that we are the aristocracy. The white race is the aristocracy of the earth. And if we don't have dominion, these other races will. And think what the world will be like then. I mean, that's the prophecy that Hitler made. If he loses the war and Bolshevism wins, then the earth will be devoid of life. It would just go back to the Stone Age. That's what will happen if we're not on top. That's what white supremacy really was. And the Jews twisted the meaning of the word. White world supremacy meant the supremacy of the rule of law and the rule of the Christian ideals of mercy, charity, kindness, justice, those sorts of things. That's what white supremacy meant. And that's what the third world and the other races, the non-white races, that's what they wanted for themselves. They looked up to us because of that. If you go back,
which is why they're all storming into Europe.
Yeah, this is exactly. They wouldn't be coming into Europe if that wasn't true. They're not capable of doing it for themselves. And I'm not saying we should be ruling over them, but
you know these programs you get when people want to go buy an house and they get offered to view four or five houses on TV. I was watching one today actually, and it was a 17th century house, magnificent building. I mean, this is 17th century, but you can go back even further than that. But I was just imagining then what it would be like in Africa in the 17th century. It just wouldn't be comparable. I mean, this was a magnificent house.
It would still be the same as today, living in their dung houses and their dung huts.
This is where these people, you know, with this white guilt they were in, it's all been, the brainwashing has been unbelievable.
And the white man was looked up to when he was over there, and he did have servants, but the white man stopped all the wars. He meant that it was safe for these non-whites and these Negroes. It was safe for them to go out in their villages. They weren't robbed. They weren't mugged. They weren't murdered. They didn't have these wars. Because the white man was there, he prevented all of that with the police force. The police were nothing like the thugs that we have today. they were looked up to.
Yeah, well, this is, again, where Freemasonry comes in. I feel the Jewish influence is there as well. Because I found the simple answer to Freemasonry, because the Jews look on the Goyim Freemasonry just as numb as they do with most Goyim. The real reason for Freemasonry is that for a small amount of people like the Jews to take over a country, all they need is a secret society with members of the government and the police in, and the job's complete.
Well, they can just influence it then as well. Oh, and they have. Exactly. Freemasonry, going right back to the beginning of Freemasonry, it's always been enamoured with the Jews. It's always looked up to the Jews as if they had some secret wisdom that the Goyim had forgotten or never had. I mean, they'll try and present the idea today that the Europeans were savages until the Romans came. And then the Jews came and with their enlightenment and with their Talmud and taught us the Kabbalah and all this clever stuff. And the Freemasons look up to them and think they're wonderfully intelligent and wonderfully clever. We never used to think that. We saw them as devils and goblins and trolls and all the wicked creatures in our fairy tales are all based on the Jew. Rumpelstiltskin trying to steal his white babies.
Yeah, exactly. And of course, after white babies, the opinion of the Jew hasn't changed though over the years, because, like I said, the true readings are in the Talmud, and you know, there's no denying it. They'll hide and they'll pretend that the book on, you know, the Zion protocols is fake. They'll say that all day long, because obviously they don't want people to know.
It's all come true, hasn't it? I mean, that's all you Absolutely. Have to say about those protocols. They might say that they're not accurate, but if they're not accurate, if they weren't actually written down as the exact minutes of a meeting, they were still describing exactly what the Jews were doing and exactly what the Jews have done, right down to the promotion of evolution. I mean, who could have thought back then what the effects of evolution were going to be, saying that we were descended from a lesser life form and became more complex to today? Who would have known what the effects of that would have been all the way back then, 100 years ago or more, that what would happen from that? That we would lose our faith in God, we would lose our faith in Christianity, we would think that there was nothing wrong with race mixing, we would think there was nothing wrong with us going extinct because another race would just evolve to replace us.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, you can sit back and look at it. It's been one huge plan, but there's been some really warped minds in there to work some of these things out.
Well, they just want to take God out of the picture, don't they? They want to take God out of the picture. That's the thing. That's the essential thing, is remove God out of the picture. Remove the creator out of the picture and replace him with man and get everyone worshipping man. And thinking
man can be his own God. Yeah, it's exactly the Luciferian agenda.
Thinking that pleasure is the ultimate goal is just giving in to pleasure, and that's the same as an animal. That's all the animal has. The animal just has pleasure. He produces more of himself, and he eats and he sleeps, and that's it. And that's all they want to reduce us to.
Because they believe we're animals anyway, but just in human form, so we can serve them better. That's been written as well.
Right, just like slaves. Mm. A slave race is what they want to breed.
I think it's written down that every Jew will get 800 slaves. I think that's what they're expecting. Of course, the Jews will deny it, but.
Well, the thing with them as well, when they try to say that they're the chosen people, and yet everything that they've done is gone against what was in the Bible. The Bible says that the people that it was written to, it says you should obey God and then you'll be given all of this. And what the Jews are all about, the Talmud, is all about ways that they can take over the world. It's not about obeying God. It's about ways they can deceive the nations that they live among and take them over. So it's not being given to them by God.
Ideas how to do it.
Yeah, it's all about how to deceive the world and deceive the nations, take them over, infiltrate the government, how to steal from the nations that you're among, justifying not being honest with them. Even the best of the Gentiles should be killed. It's like a crime syndicate, a book of rules for a crime syndicate on how to take over a country. Is it nothing about being... Nothing about being blessed by God, and God will provide it for you. The Jews say that they are their own God, and that God obeys them. God obeys their rabbis. It says that in the Talmud.
Yeah, sure it does. Amazing. They never cease to amaze me, to be honest.
Well, it's just this evolution thing. I think that's quite incredible. If you could say to... You could say to us 150 years ago that in 150 years' time, you'll be believing that you were descended from a monkey.
Yeah.
And that there was no God, and that everything just happened by accident. And suddenly life just appeared by random from the mud somewhere, and some monkey had a random mutation, and just as if by magic found another monkey with another random mutation, and everything got gradually more and more complex, and then you're here. And that would take all the meaning out of life, wouldn't it?
Well, I watched a Dawkins video as well on YouTube. He was discussing this exact subject with a lady, and she was obviously religious-like, and He was adamant, as you said earlier on in the show. He was adamant. It's all been proven. He said, well, there might be one or two frauds, you know, back in the early 1900s, late 1800s. But says other than that, like, it's pretty much proven, and she just wouldn't have it. Which I agreed with her, to be honest.
Well, this is the thing. When they're talking about evolution, they're talking about things happening over millions and billions of years. See, that's right. You can't test that. You cannot have proof for that, because you can't go back in time millions of years and speed it up. All you can do is you can find...
I kept turning up only like 200 years ago when all this come to the front, you know what I mean? I mean, before then, nobody was discovering anything.
Well, a lot of the fossils that they've found have turned out to be apes, or they've turned out to be more recent people with diseases, bone diseases. None of them have actually been proved to be what they say they are. You know, this missing link halfway between one species and another. If you're talking about something that's around hundreds of thousands of years ago, the likelihood is that's just a species of something. It doesn't mean that it's your ancestor. It doesn't mean that grew into something else. Things don't get gradually more complex over time. Things decay and rot over time. They don't improve.
What was interesting, Dawkins said to her, actually, he said, have you got some kind of agenda? Because you don't feel like this, you know, being called a relative to a monkey, there's something sinister behind it. And there is. He's got the agenda, not her.
Right, it amazes me that the scientists that will go along with it, I don't think they really think about this. They just believe everything that they're told, and they won't take a step back.
Maybe they have to.
And think
Maybe
about
they
it.
Have to.
And they don't actually get any funding unless they go along with it. That's a big problem.
This is what I'm saying. Yeah, it's a big part. Got to be.
That's the Jewish subversion of science, where money comes into it. And if you suggest something different...
It's subversion of everything. I mean, when you think about it, with the books, and, you know, they once told David Irving that he has to put 15 pages of the Holocaust in, otherwise he won't publish his book. And he refused, and that's why he had all the problems.
Well, they've done the same with this cosmology. So I say that the electric universe theory, that makes sense. And the people that have been suggesting that and doing these experiments, they don't get any funding. They have to fund it themselves, because they come out with results which show that the theories that have come about since Einstein are all junk, basically. They've had to invent 99% of the universe not being there to account for the fact that their theories don't add up. When they make predictions and they do these tests, like with this Kern... particle accelerator that they've got in Switzerland with this God particle, they didn't find the God particle at all. They didn't find what they were looking for. They had to change all the parameters because they found something completely different. And then they had to make up 99% of the universe isn't there to compensate for the fact that their theories didn't the predictions didn't actually come out right. So they have to invent something that you can't actually test, because you can't test that 99% to prove that it's there. So they said, well, it must
so
be there.
Can't be disproven.
Yeah. Must be there, because our theories can't possibly be wrong, because they go back to Einstein.
I'm a scientist, yeah.
Yeah, they go back to the famous Jew, the super clever genius Jew. He can't be wrong.
Exactly.
All comes down to money, doesn't it? All comes down to money and who they promote.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, World War II set the tone. After that defeat, this is what we have.
Well, people didn't believe in evolution before that. I mean, Darwin was around, but what they did, they must have, you know, they could see ahead. They could see the potential that Darwin's idea of evolution, what it had to help them with their plans. And they thought, well, we must promote this. And so they did.
But then they labeled that with Hitler as well, because to me, that was taken on board by the communists. But they keep saying that National Socialists and all that, you know, believed in all this eugenics and what have you. All that stems from Britain.
Well, eugenics is different to evolution. Eugenics is just selective breeding. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You do get adaptation within the race. But Hitler talked about the original sin. He talked about Adam being created in the image of man, and the original sin being race mixing, the sin that could never be forgiven, the sin that destroyed God's creation, which was race mixing. I'm not sure he ever spoke about...
All these ideas stem from London.
Yeah, I'm not sure he ever spoke about being descended from monkeys.
No, I'm sure he didn't.
He knew our ancestors were, you know, illustrious Aryans. He knew we had a glorious past. Certainly didn't come from
monkeys.
Yeah,
he never stopped telling his people, which is not what we're here today. We're told we are what we are, and that isn't amounting to much.
Yeah, another thing to do with the evolution theory, when they say that it was successive mutations, you would have one random mutation, say, to form a trunk, and then you would have another random mutation that would be for another bit of the trunk. I mean, the chances of that happening are astronomical because it's a random mutation. If you suddenly grew the correct mutation needed for a trunk, then the next random mutation you would get would be a random mutation needed for feathers or a random mutation needed for gills. You certainly wouldn't get the random mutation needed for a trunk. And by that time, it would be an evolutionary dead end, and these mutations would stop. Because mutations aren't of any benefit. They are always of a negative effect. And then you wouldn't be able to find anyone to breed with. So evolution, just from these really basic ways of looking at it, without getting all caught up in the science of it and the technical side of it, it basically goes against all the laws of nature.
Well, that doesn't count when you're trying to get rid of God and you control the media and publishing and the movie industry.
Well, that's it, isn't it? It's like the Hollow Hoax story, isn't it? I mean, 24 hours a day Hollow Hoax programming you get on the television. And it's the same with evolution. Everyone that you see on television will go along with evolution and will be horrified if somebody doesn't believe it. And they'll be ridiculed and mocked and they'll be idiots. And they must be complete retards not to believe in the fairy tale of evolution for which there is no evidence for.
Our band from America, like Earth Zundel.
Yeah, well, that was the other subject that we wanted to talk about. I don't know if we'll get the time here now. I just want to say, I mean, with evolution or creation, I mean, you don't even have to posit another way for us to have been created. I mean, you don't have to say that, oh, the Bible's true and that account of creation is true. But what you can say from looking at the evidence around us is that the theory of evolution isn't true. If we look at ourselves, exactly. We were created by our parents, and the race of human beings and everything else around us had to have been created. And there's a design to it. It didn't happen by chance. Things don't happen by chance, not things that are so incredibly well designed that all fit in together like the world around us. That's the proof to me that evolution
is
true.
Somewhere. Yeah.
Yeah. The world itself.
Gotta be.
Yeah, Ernst Zundel, the courageous hero, Ernst Zundel, who's been in prison for the last 5 years in Germany after being abducted from America against his will and taken to Germany to face charges for something that he said when he was in Canada, he's not allowed back into America. His wife is American. She's 80 years old. She's frail.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's ill. She needs looking after. Ernst Zundel has obviously finished his prison sentence in Germany, and he's been turned down to go and live with his wife.
Well, he said quite as well. He hasn't really set it out of order. I don't know why he was doing this. He was hoping that when the time come that he could apply to go to America and visit his wife. But I always felt that it would be a problem because of his high profile.
Well, the problem is that they are saying that he's incited violence against Jews and against minorities. How has he incited violence? The man is a complete pacifist. All he's done is tried to lift some of the guilt from the German people for crimes which he believes didn't happen. All he's done is promote the evidence for that. He's never promoted violence against Jews or ethnic minorities. It's the ethnic minorities that blew up his archive.
But I think you're looking at it from a level playing field. Where I wasn't, I was looking at these people won the war. They didn't want anything exposed about the Holocaust. And did they ever forgive? I don't think so.
No, they don't forgive. There's a question about this as well, Dennis, because they've been saying about Trump's Muslim ban and he can't just ban a people because of their religion. Well, how can they ban Ernst Zundel for his political views? Surely that must go against the Constitution as well.
Well, the same reason that they can let dancing Israelis go back to Israel where any trial. It's because the people in charge of it are for one and against the other. I don't think it comes down to a question of law. Up to a point, it'll come down to a question of law, but it can always be overruled by a higher degree. And I think that's his problem, I really do. I think at the top end there, there's too much influence against him. And it's not a surprise to me. I'm saddened for him, but it's not a surprise.
Well, as we all know, they'll just make the rules up as they go along. And they'll use the argument that Trump can't stop people coming into America because of their religion, but apparently America can stop people coming into the country because of their politics. Even though both those things
cancel one another out. If you've won World War II, you can do anything. Sorry, I missed that. Say that again.
So even though both of those legal positions cancel one another out.
That's right. But like I said, if you've won World War II, then you can more or less do anything. I mean, you'll let things go to keep things hidden, you know what I'm saying? But when push comes to shove, nothing else counts, only the winners. And their point of view.
Well, that's what we're seeing, isn't it? That's what we're seeing there with Ernst Sundell. That's what we're seeing with this promotion of evolution. It's what we see with everything. We just see a one-sided promotion of one point of view that benefits the Jews and that disenfranchises the white race and that harms the white race. Everything. Yeah, everything
and
about
drip so people don't notice the same. That's the problem. I mean, this has been what now since almost 80 years since, you know, the war. You know, this has been a constant drip, slowly but surely. You look at the landmass now of Europe, that's how that's changed since World War II. You look at America, that's changed how once over the Catholic Church might have been up in arms in Germany saying, you know, about things not comparable to abortion in America, and now the Catholic Church will say nothing. The whole landscape has changed.
Yeah, it's all been since we lost the war. We're told we won the war, though, Dennis. We're told we won the war.
Well, I do believe some people do think they won the war, but I think they don't realise that there was a higher power in charge of the Allies, and unfortunately, they have no feelings only for their own race.
I don't think they realise who the war was really between, do they? They think was between the British, the Americans against the Germans, but really it was the Jews against the white race.
Exactly. I try telling that to some people who just don't see it because of the propaganda.
Yes, propaganda wars is what it's all about, really. That's
relentless.
The point. Yeah, well, that's the point of producing these podcasts, is so that we can fight from our own side. We can fight against the propaganda that's aimed against us, that's used to harm us. And it does have success. It has a lot of effect. You know, we often get people drop by the chat room or drop comments off saying that Radio Aryan helped to wake them up. Truthful Out Radio helped to wake them up. And you must have had thousands of people telling you about Adolf Hitler, the greatest story never told, that waking people up. And if it wasn't for the internet and we didn't have this ability, we would be really limited, I think. And people would be so much more depressed because of it, because they would feel alone and they wouldn't realise that there was a group of people out there thinking the same way as them. Trying
it's
to do something about it.
It's worked in a way that you wouldn't have thought they would have liked. I suppose they have got their pluses with it, but there's a lot of negatives. A lot of people now are much more aware than they would ever have been.
Well, they just thought we were going to be taking pictures of our food and watching pornography and looking at cats doing funny things and uploading that to YouTube. I don't think they had any idea of what we'd be able to do with the technology.
Documentary.
Yeah. I don't think they thought that was coming. I don't think they thought the life of Adolf Hitler was coming.
It's had an effect on a lot of people.
Yeah. I mean, how's the new documentary coming on, Dennis, anyway?
Well, it's been like a big jigsaw at the moment. Like, I'm mainly still soundtrack, although I've been working on some visuals, but it's still a bit of a jigsaw because not only you have to get all together, and you're going to, you know, some of the soundtrack has to be treated because, you know, there's some scratches and noises on them. But eventually, like once that's sorted, then you've got to produce it, where it's all got to kind of fit together like a bit of a hand in a glove. And that comes at a later stage. But at the moment, I'm in research and I'm also working on soundtracks and bits of visuals at the same time. So, you know, when the first one or two will be available is yet to be decided, but I'm working on it constantly.
Are you working on sort of four or five episodes all at the same time?
At the moment I am, yeah. That's not my usual style. That was only caused because of the problems I had with the PC right at the beginning. So rather than not work at all, I kind of moved on to things which I could get to. And that's why that's happened.
Any idea when we might be seeing the first episode?
Well, I said last week about 2 weeks, but can't even be sure about that at the moment. I mean, it's possible I might finish one, but that might not be the one that I want to release first, if you get my point.
Well, it's best to wait until you've got everything exactly right, exactly.
That's right.
Exactly, yeah, how you so want it.
Patience is the name, I think.
Are you going to be doing one specifically on evolution?
That could well be as well. I mean, you know, as you know, when I start these documentaries, I don't always end up where I intend. So, you know, these things do take me off in certain directions. So that's quite possible.
I think one of the things that puts people off about evolution and thinking that evolution is a hoax is that they see a lot of the evangelical anti-evolution videos or documentaries, and they don't come across as very believable. They just end up producing biblical evidences for why evolution is false, or they're not particularly convincing. The people themselves presenting it don't look that good. I think it turns people off. I mean, it really shouldn't be a religious thing.
I would
think
present it as a weapon.
Yeah,
I think that's exactly what it is. I think it's a weapon that they use, which is just part of another number of weapons to get to the agenda.
It should really be looked at, whether you're a Christian or not, it should be looked at as, well, that's obviously a hoax, because just looking around you, you can see that there's no possible way that that could be true, because it breaks all the laws of nature. You don't have to be a Christian to see that, and yet all the anti-evolution stuff that I've seen has been presented most of it from an evangelical Christian perspective. So it would be good if you could do something from a less evangelical,
I think that's the angle to come from, though. It is a weapon.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And your documentaries and this podcast are defensive weapons back.
I found some great offensive music as well, by the way. We were talking about that last week, weren't we? I found some tremendous music.
Excellent. Have you got a theme that's going to run right the way through it?
Yeah, I've got that. That one is nailed. It's a great number as well.
Well, don't tell us what it is.
Keep
us in suspense. Till the premiere. All right, Dennis. Yeah, yeah. We're coming up to the end of the podcast. Do you want to let people know where they can find your work?
Yeah, well, the best place usually is YouTube, although, like I said, I'm still working on getting some videos up there. That's going to take a while yet. But you can go to Create a Story Never Told, the website, or Communism by the Back Door for the second documentary, as we await the third one.
And of course, you can find all the Radio Aryan podcasts at www.radioaryan.com. Thank you very much for coming on, Dennis. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. Don't forget, we do have a Bitcoin wallet if you do want to donate. And we'll be back next Friday at the usual time at radioaryan.com. We hope you have a wonderful weekend, and we'll see you all again next time.
Tuned in to Radio